Good morning. On behalf of the Cooper family, I welcome you and thank all who are attending the memorial service of Aaron Richard Cooper, who passed away on September 25th, 2021. My name is Alan Mulliner. I'm the Bishop of the Log Cabin Ward of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and I will be conducting today's services. On behalf of those present, we wish to offer our deepest condolences to the family and loved ones of Aaron who have gathered here today. We want to thank all those who have traveled long distances to be here. We're also grateful to all those who have helped in the various preparations for today's services. We recognize and are grateful to Linda Dickinson for the accompaniment and prelude music, and to our chorister, Julie Porter. Before this service, the family prayer was given by Brother Ron Cooper, Aaron's father. We would like to recognize the pallbearers that include Jared Cooper, Greg Harris, Stephen Thurston, Gavin Cooper, Moki Resentis, Alex Lemon, Jonathan Walker, Jaden Miller, Sean Coleman, and Justin Kuntz. We'll proceed with today's program and this service as outlined in the program, beginning first by singing the hymn 193, I Stand All Amazed, after which the invocation will be offered by Zachary Thurston, Aaron's cousin.
Jesus. Our dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be gathered here as family and friends in remembrance of Aaron. We ask that the Spirit can be with us, and that the Spirit can be with the speakers today as we all come together to remember Aaron and what a great light he was in the world. We're grateful for the knowledge that families are forever and we will be able to see Aaron again. We ask for peace and comfort, especially for Aaron's family and wife. And we ask for all these things and any other things that Thou knows we need at this time, and do so humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Zachary. We'll begin today's services by hearing from Devin Moki Resentis, Aaron's close friend. Following Devin's remarks, we'll then hear from Stephen Thurston, Aaron's cousin. We'll then be pleased to hear a special musical number titled Wind, performed by Aaron's wife, Kimmy Cooper. The concluding speakers will first be Kristen Cooper, Aaron's sister, and then Jared Cooper, Aaron's brother. It will then be my opportunity to share some closing remarks. Brother Resentis.
Aloha.
Aloha.
There we go. Eric always wanted to do that, and I've always given him permission, but he's just never had the guts to do it. So we'll do it today. So I'm not gonna lie, I thought I was going like in the middle, so I have some middle remarks. So don't judge me too much. But I'd like to start off with saying, hey bud, if you knew Aaron, that was probably the first thing you will ever remember him ever saying to you. Was, hey bud, how's it going? Followed by his ever so just, you know that smile that he gives you, that smirk? It just touches your soul, and every once in a while you're just like, why are you so happy? I found myself asking that question a couple times, and then fortunately, I found out why. I got to meet his beautiful family. I got to meet his beautiful friends. And for some reason, whatever he saw in me, he decided, you know, I was his friend too. And that was a great day. And I still remember that day. I still remember him coming to the chapel where we were playing volleyball. And Gavin had introduced him as, oh, this is just my cousin. And we were like, really? Because he looks a lot cooler than you, Gavin. You know? Come on. He's not just your cousin. But as I would go to find out weeks later, he came over to my house, and I later found out he was also my soulmate. If you think I'm joking, let me tell you, everybody sitting in that corner can testify to you, soulmate. Not only did we used to finish each other's sentences, we used to think the same way. Any single time that there was some stupid little idea, it was always a quick look, and we're like, okay, we're on board. Are you guys? And I remember vividly one day, and it was the day that we both decided that we were soulmates. We'd gone to Subway, all the way in Toronto. We went to go watch Steven's softball game that was going on, and we got hungry, so we went to the Walmart, and we went to Subway. And we're standing in line, we're like, oh man, I don't know what I want to eat. Gio, go ahead, just go ahead and order. And then Aaron was like, okay, I think I know what I want. I was like, I know what I want. So we're standing there in line, and he comes up, I'd like a Italian BMT. What? Okay, there's a pepper jack cheese. On Italian herbs and cheese. And I'm like, all right, This gets suspicious. I testify to you that he did make the exact sandwich that I was making, and it kind of hurt my feelings, because I was like, dude, that's my sandwich. He's like, oh, this is how I always make it. I'm like, okay, whatever. And we sat down, and we're like, we're soulmates, aren't we? I looked him in the eye, and I said, yes, we are. And if you guys think I'm still joking, okay, after Kimmy had found out that she had gotten pregnant, okay, like, what is everybody's lifelong goal? It's to find their soulmate and go traveling with them. Who's the first person he called when, like, he found out that his wife was pregnant and he needed somebody to go with him on top of their cruise? Soulmate. And I don't know, it hit me really hard, probably on Sunday, as I'm sure it hit everyone pretty hard. I remember I was watching D&D Celebration stream. It was all his fault that I got hooked back onto D&D in the first place. And I was watching and they released some really, really big news. And I've been talking about it, I've been fantasizing about it, I've been just all up in his ear all about it. And they finally announced it. And the very first thing I did was I went to text him. And I stopped mid-text. And I realized, I'm never gonna get that answer back. That's when I started evolving. That's when it really hit me. And I remember just sitting there feeling like I was so defeated. I was so cheated out of such sweet memories that we still get to be had. We're supposed to start our business with the cons and corrections where we teach all these inmates how to play D&D. And it was gonna be great. We're gonna change people's lives. We were gonna, he was gonna finally take me out to go hunting when I finally moved up to Elk Grove. And I was gonna be like, yeah, brother, listen. I still remember we were supposed to buy a ranch together as well, because you know, soulmate. And it was just, it was one of those bittersweet times where I realized I need to continue living for him. Our motto has always been live for the story. And let me tell you what, Aaron lived that to the T. Sometimes he would go up to the cliff of that T, and sometimes he would end up off of that cliff of the T. Namely when he broke his rib. Remember that one? Everyone's like, oh no, you're fine, you're fine. Ends up being a doctor. But I digress. I love Aaron. And I know all of you do, and I see that same spark and that same light in all of you. Never forget him. Treasure all the memories that you do have with him. Know that he loves you. Know that he wants the best for you. I know it because that's what he's told me all the time. But I'm thinking about you. But I love you. But you need to stop doing that. It's really starting to affect the group. And I'd be like, okay. But he was a man full of love. He was a man bigger than anybody that you would ever see. Not just in physical stature, but in spiritual stature. I remember a lot of times where we would sit either in the church parking lot or we'd find somewhere random to hang out. And we'd be sitting there and we'd be laughing and joking. And the next thing you know, we're like 5 scriptures deep into like talking about the eternities and what God has in plan and what God's plan is for us and what he has in store for everyone. And I remember all of the tender memories that he shared with about his family, about his friends. And let me tell you, if you've never felt that he loved you, you probably just need to give it a second glance and you'll find all of the words and all of the sentiment there. I guess just in closing, I'd like to say just a few words to Aaron himself. I'm gonna miss you. But I know as I look into everyone's eyes that knew you, you will be there. I know that you will forever be in their heart. And Aaron, we promise you, we're gonna look after your son, we're gonna look after your wife. We're gonna make sure
Nothing befalls them. We'll always be there for them, because we know that you would always be there for us in our times of need, in our times of strife. And as you take this next journey, we offer you peace and condolences, not for the loss of you, but for the memories that we won't be able to have with you for now. And just on a personal note, I gifted you some dice. Please make sure you practice. And please get better at bowling. To the Coopers, thank you so much. Thank you so much for raising my best friend, my soulmate, my brother in arms. I'm grateful for all that you guys have done to rear him so that I would recognize my brother in arms in Christ, in life, and in love. I love each of you so much. And to Kimmy, my new best friend, hi. I just gotta say, epitome of comfort today. If you guys have not seen her in her bed slippers, bro. That's why she's my best friend. But Kimmy, I want to say thank you as well. I don't remember a single time that he was happier than when he was talking about you. Whether it was when you guys first started talking, first started dating, first got married, first month living together, actually first week living together, I got that text, and then first month, and then first 3 months, and then he was like, man, I don't know how much happier I can get. And I was like, well, then you're about to find out. But I say all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'm going to start this off by asking a question I probably asked Aaron a million times. Is there any game wardens around? Aaron Richard Cooper, aka Ricardo in South Texas. He was a cousin, a father, a husband, a son, and a brother. His senior year, I spent almost every Thursday with him. Sometimes during school, sometimes after. Didn't really know when he was going to show up at my house, but I knew when he did, we were getting food. We'd always just go out, do little things, whether it be get food or one time we went to get a haircut and he asked for a flat top. You know how hard it is to find a spatula nowadays? Flat top? The whole barbershop was going crazy looking for it. We'd sit there and we'd just watch hunt shows, tell each other how we could do it better than the professionals, make up plans for our hunting trips and things we were going to do. Aaron was also big on betting and competitive. We'd bet on almost anything. The one time I remember in particular is we were on a guy's fishing trip and we were all giving him a lot of crap because he thought he was this great swimmer. But we were at Tropic Reservoir. And I think the pot got up to close to $100. We're all just saying $20, you can't. Well, he swam there and back, I think maybe twice. Collected the money. Me, Jared, and Aaron bought a trailer. A $350 trailer that came with changing alternator on a boat. Me, Jared, and Aaron, my Uncle Ron had some of the greatest times in that trailer. I'll never forget the first time I got to sleep next to Aaron, because all he did was moan, talk, and touch me all night. I was also surprised the little pullout on this 1978 Star Quest held the weight of Jared and Aaron on the side. But to us, that trailer was everything. A lot of good times. Anybody that knows me knows I couldn't stay mad at Aaron. no matter what he did. I'll never forget the time we were out hunting. Me and Jared went to go watch elk. And Aaron asked to take my side by side. I didn't let anybody drive my side by side. But because it was Aaron, I let him. And me and Jared were coming back to camp. It was dark. We hadn't got a text from Aaron. So in our minds, we were hoping he got a deer. But I looked at Jared, I said, you know he rolled that damn thing. You know. We get back to camp, and here comes Aaron walking on the trail. No deer, no side-by-side. So we get in the truck, and we're driving up what we call close to Clavicle Hill, because that's where Aaron also rode a quad. And I haven't said a word. I quiet as could be. And Aaron looked at me and goes, man, you're taking this really well. That's when I said every word I knew. The main thing was he was okay. Like I told him, once I finished my rant cussing, it was insured. But with Aaron, every hunting trip there is a story. From drawing circles in the dirt, to being the rock president, to me and him cussing out Jared for going on a side-by-side trail in a two-wheel drive truck that got us 3 extra days of hunting. To me and Aaron just really sitting there debating if that deer was worth it on that private land. This is why I asked if there's any wardens here. One of the craziest times I ever saw Aaron is when I had snuck onto some private, allegedly. And I went through with my bow. And I turned right. And I look and I see Aaron doing jumping jacks. Doing everything but screaming. So I couldn't figure out what he was doing. I get back to the truck and he goes, hey, dumbass, if you would have just went left, you would have got your deer. I had no idea that's what he meant. Lastly, last I got to say is, on our hunting trip, something always does happen. Blown tires, trailers, side-by-sides, Aaron forgetting the bullets or a sleeping bag, kid forgets everything. I'm sorry, I think he hunted in his crop sometimes. But anybody that knows this knows me, him, and Jared jokingly call themselves rip-off guys. Because no matter what, if it was going to happen, it's going to happen with us. So we just started out of frustration making these things. You know, like, we may not fill your tag, but we'll fill your belly. You know, you want that deer private or public? It's all a matter of timing. It got so big that we started a group chat. We went from a group chat to a championship belt for hunting season. From a championship belt to shirts being made. From shirts being made to a softball team that makes the playoffs but can't win the championship. Aaron was always so proud of Rip Off Guy services that he would tell us he'd find us new clients. Like Alex, our cousin Gary. You don't want Gary's review on us. But the main thing is keeping that going. Me and Jared are going to keep everything going for him. Like I said, we have a lot of sayings. And our new saying will be, we'll get you your deer, whether it's here or up there.
I said I wasn't gonna do this. Don't think I'm a mess, God. I don't think of him as gone away. His journey just begun. His life holds many facets. This earth is only one. Just think of him and resting from all the sorrows and pain. In a place of warmth and comfort where there are no days and years. Think of how he must be wishing that we all could just know how nothing but our sadness has really passed away. Think of him as living in the hearts of those he touched, for nothing loved is ever lost, and he was loved so much. If you could look at this paper, you'd see there's only two poems on it. I didn't know what to say. Anything I said, you guys would already have known. Any adjective I could say, everyone would already know. And nothing that I could have said is going to be able to describe the amazing person he was. Unfortunately, it did take him to pass away for me to realize this. Because to me, he'll always be this mean big brother he was. From punching me like I wasn't a girl to hitting me with a baseball bat not only once but twice to the side of the head. I mean, it wasn't just him. I didn't break his finger playing football. I always used to have to tell myself we're best friends because I didn't think he knew it. But looking back at everything we went through, he was always there next to me. And we'd watch movies or anything, and he'd look over and be like, Kristen, are you really crying right now? Or something emotional would happen, and he's like, well, I know Kristen's crying. Where we'd just sit in the car and he'd sing and he'd look over and I'd be bawling. I remember one time, not too long ago, when Aaron and Kimmy just started dating, I had gotten a candle and Aaron thought it was a good idea to light the candle then go take a shower while the candle burned completely out. And I remember just being so upset, like, what would that have done? She's not gonna smell the candle that you completely burnt. And if anyone knew Aaron and me, I couldn't tell him how I felt because he just told me I'm just his little stupid sister. But that day, I remember he took me out to lunch. And then he said, let's go get some candles. And I never said, why did you burn the candle? I never said that I was upset, but he knew I was before I said anything. And he always knew what I was feeling before I said it. And even though we would fight and bicker 90% of the time, I knew that's just how we showed each other we loved each other. And I remember when we were younger, my mom used to hit us with a wooden spoon. And one time we were in the living room and we were fighting over something, and when me and Aaron fought, Aaron loved to scream at me, and that was just what he did. And one time my mom went up to him, hit him over the butt with the wooden spoon, and it broke. And Aaron got up on my mom. I started approaching her, and you know, my mom's only 5'6" and 6'5", and he's all up in my mom's face, saying, what are you gonna do, basically. And I remember her saying, go sit down or something like that. And then when she left the room, he said, we're never gonna deal with that wooden spoon again. I And Aaron was a big man. According to Mom and Kimmy, they told me not to say this, but they tried to say he was 380 pounds. And I was like, there's no way. But looking in that casket, you were a big man, but it wasn't just his body that was big. It was his life, the world that he shot dead. He made you think you were spiritual, even if you weren't. And I'd like to share this verse with you. Oh, it's on my phone. Never mind. I'm sorry. But it basically says, you're the light of the world. It's on the program. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light shine before men. And that's what Aaron did. He went to the old beat of his own drum. Yes, it's hard to understand. He was only 23 and laid to rest. But Aaron lived his life knowing that one day could always be his last. He didn't let anyone tell him what to do. He didn't care what anyone thought. He wore those raggedy little Crocs everywhere. And didn't care where he was at or how black the bottom of his foot was going to be after. And as we go on, I know it's going to be hard. There's a void that will never be filled. But I won't ask why, because I know why. I know his journey was complete here. He touched every soul that he needed to touch. And I know we will see him again. And I know he's gonna hate me because I've been saying a lot of jokes about him lately. That he's gonna be upset. And I would just like to share this last thought. For my brother, no sadness can compare to this precious brother. But today the choirs of angels sing to welcome another. For us, no one else on earth so special as you were to me. I hold you on to me forever, my brother. And Martin, in memory, we shared something so special, a bond so deep and true. Nobody else could ever make you smile as well as you did. I know we'll meet again. I know this is not the end. To rest for now until we see again, my brother, my best friend. Aaron. And please watch over us as we finish this path to meet again. Say this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Said he was playing around with me in the middle. I don't understand why I'm the last. I'd probably be the worst talk that there is. Whole week Kristen's been telling me, don't cry. I get it from my mom and my dad, so I can't avoid it. I remember the day I found out I was going to have a little brother. I was 8 years old, and I was with my grandpa up in the cabin, and we called home, and my mom told me How would you like to have a little brother? I said, okay. Never really thought about it. Just being 8 years old, I was like, I'm all right, I'm fine, I'm the only child. This is great. But then I remembered the day he was born. My dad was already at work, and the mom woke up and her water broke, and I woke up and I said, Mom, what are you doing? She goes, go and have your brother. Grandma's gonna take you to school. I said, no, I'm not going to school. I was so excited. I was gonna have a little brother. I was going to the hospital. I was gonna be there. I remember being in the waiting room. I should have went to school then. It was so long. But ever since he was born, we were inseparable. He was my best friend. I remember when we were at our old house, we had this little go-kart. And Aaron had been 2 years old at the time. We just strap him in and I'd drive him around. And he loved it so much, and we were driving up and down the road, and he loved it so much I started weaving in and out of parked cars right there. And we had the cops called on us. That was my little partner in crime. We were so inseparable that as we grew up, it was time for Aaron to be baptized, and I had just barely become a priest. And I remember my parents asking me, who do you want to baptize you? They said me, and I knew then that I really needed to be an example for my brother. As I grew up, of course, turning into a teenager, Aaron's 8, almost 9 years younger than me. He always wanted to be hanging around me, but of course, 9 years, it was hard for me as a teenager. I was like, no, you stay here. I'm going to go hang out with my friends. I soon learned that was more important than I'd take him with me. He was my little partner in crime. I had to have him with me at all times. He was the main reason, one of the big reasons I went on my mission. I knew I wanted to go. My father always told me, you're going on a mission, going on a mission. And then when it came time, I was like, yeah, I'm going on a mission. And then I knew one of the big reasons was I wanted to be that example for Aaron. When I returned home from my mission, we went back to the same ways we were, inseparable. I would even take him out to singles war activities, play volleyball, spike ball. Didn't matter. He was there. He might not have been a singles war member, but he was there. He was always so proud that he would always say, I got to meet, when I finally found my wife, he was the first one to meet her because he was always there. He went to the singles war activities. Aaron had the biggest heart. When he went on his mission, there was no doubt he was going to do great things.
Even when he got the call to serve in Las Vegas East Mission, it didn't matter to him. He knew he was meant to go there to do great things. Aaron would give you anything, even if he didn't have it. He would give you the shirt off his back. I remember stories about when he was on his mission. He had so many bikes because he was collecting them to make sure every missionary could have a bike. Aaron would definitely go without, just so he could give to someone. I remember one time on his mission, he didn't tell us he needed anything. And one of the members of his ward he was serving contacted my family. And it just so happened to be a guy that was in my singles ward. And he contacted us just to let us know Aaron was wearing shoes with holes in them. You wouldn't tell us, and Mom was so upset with Aaron that he did not say anything. That I broke the rules and I went and took him a pair of shoes while he was on his mission. But that was Aaron. He would give you things even though he didn't have them. As he returned from his mission, he was such an example to everyone. You could see the Christ-like attributes in him. As he returned from his mission, he really struggled coming back to the normal world because he was such a great missionary that as soon as he got home, he was going back to Kingman to help the missionaries, to be a member for his lessons. Being home from a mission because his life wasn't going as he planned. And I know Aaron, he always had a competition, like many have said before. Everything was a competition. I just remember the whole time since he got home, it's not going to take me as long as it did my brother to find his eternal partner. And he won. Not by much, but he won. And he would always say it, and I'm just so happy that he found the one. He found Kimmy, and when he first told me about Kimmy, she showed me a picture, I was like, Aaron, she's so little. Aaron, you're no little man, dude. You're gonna hurt her. But come to find out, Kimmy's not little. She's a little person, but she's a big person. She has a big spirit. They were a match made in heaven. When Aaron lost his first child, it really hit him hard. And I think, I've said it before, but I think the reason the Heavenly Father needed him so bad was because he needed him up there to raise his first child. He's a handful like Aaron. You don't know how much of a big spiritual man he was. And he will be missed. Can I say his name in the name of Jesus Christ? Amen.
Thank you. Those are beautiful messages. And Kimmy for the touching musical number. I'm so thankful to be able to feel the love that each of you have and the closeness and how Aaron was central to much of that. It's beautiful. The first time I met Aaron, I was a brand new bishop, and Aaron was coming home from his mission. He had just returned and had the opportunity to sit down with him and visit with him. And I remember distinctly thinking to myself, what a wonderful man he was. If I were to describe him, I would have described him as a good soul. He had a goodness about him that left an impression upon me. And clearly he's done that for so many. Over the last week, it's been very touching to hear of all of the stories and the impact that Aaron had on others and so many. And I want to share just one example. And then we'll close. That example happened just last Sunday in our ward's fast and testimony meeting. When Sister Hill, a member of the ward who didn't know Aaron previously, recounted his homecoming address, that left an impression upon her. Aaron conveyed at that time his devotion to the Lord as he shared the words of the hymn that was so meaningful to him. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. It may not be on a mountain height or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front. My Lord will have need of me. But if by a still small voice he calls to paths that I do not know, I'll answer, dear Lord, with my hand in thine, I'll go where you want me to go. The impact that Aaron had and the relationships that he built undoubtedly makes this separation very difficult. But I testify that it is temporary. We can find peace in knowing that the Lord has established a plan for loved ones to be reunited for eternity. Of this, our prophet, President Nelson, provided the following assurance. For sorrowing loved ones left behind, the sting of death is soothed by a steadfastness, faith in Christ, a perfect brightness of hope, a love of God and of all men, and a deep desire to serve them. That faith, that hope, that love will qualify us to come into God's holy presence and with our eternal companions and families dwell with Him forever. President Nelson went on to testify that through the redeeming atonement and glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ, broken hearts can be healed, anguish can become peace, and distress can become hope. He can embrace us in His arms of mercy, comforting, empowering, and healing each of us. I want to bear my testimony of God's love for each of His children. I know that He will provide peace and comfort to all who are experiencing the sorrow associated with Aaron's passing. I know that the Lord's hand and tender mercies have already been felt. I testify that the Lord's plan of happiness includes a very clear path for families to be reunited as a result of the magnificent atonement of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, as we navigate this mortal experience in prayer, prepare ourselves for reunions to come. May each of us embrace, as Aaron so naturally did, those prescient words of the hymn that he shared. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. We wish to thank those that have participated in this service. And I know that the family is deeply touched and grateful for your prayers, for your service, and the love that you've demonstrated. Immediately following the conclusion of the services, we'd like to invite the family members and others to a luncheon in the gymnasium. We would also remind those that are able to attend graveside dedication in Mesquite at 3 p.m. We'll now close this meeting by singing hymn number 152, God Be With You Till We Meet Again, after which the benediction will be given by Gavin Cooper, Aaron's cousin.
Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful to be able to be here to celebrate the life of Aaron Cooper and for the wonderful stories that have been shared and the things that have been said about him. He will be eternally missed, but we are grateful for the time we've all been able to have with him, for the many wonderful people that he has touched and that have come here today. We love you and we're eternally grateful for everything you do. We say it's in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
We would ask the pallbearers to please come forward and the congregation to please stand.